is for sure. If it, God will get all the glory for it. If someone flies in from Singapore or from Oslo, Norway, or one of these countries where the gospel is going from here, just to come to go to Disney World or something, decide to look us up while they're here, they're going to be shocked. Can you say amen? Because they're going to go, first they're going to stop at that huge church on the corner. And then they're going to say, no, this is not it. And then they're going to drive down the road and see the Kingdom Hall. And they'll say, we know that's not it. Can you say amen? And if they come a little further and don't drive by, they'll find us. Hallelujah. And they'll say, look what the Lord, because they can't attribute it to us, can they? They'll say, look what the Lord hath done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you today for what you're doing. We want to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And as we receive this offering, we give, Lord, again, faithfully, to your work and to the establishing of your kingdom. We pray as we pray over this offering, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, we will not limit you from what you can do through us, Father, as we faithfully serve you. And because we've taken the limit off of you, you're doing mighty things that absolutely astound us today. We invest in the work of the kingdom with willful hearts, and we receive the blessing that you have pronounced upon it in the name of Jesus. And everybody that will receive the blessing said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you today. The material reward I will give you now, but yea, the greater reward awaits, saith God. Yea, the reward of seeing the souls that have been brought into the kingdom because of your faithfulness. That reward will last you forever throughout all eternity. For a crown shall be given you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can't wait to get to heaven and see the people that have come to know Jesus. Praise God. Amen. How many are glad that you're saved today? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know that you're glad. Praise God. Amen. If you come tonight, the emphasis once again, we're going to have some video. We're claiming a scripture for Sunday evening. The Lord has instructed us to begin to let people know of what he's doing globally. And it's been my joy to go on do research to find out where these wonderful, authentic revivals are taking place. Revivals driven not by gifted ministers. Amen. Revival is driven by the Holy Ghost. If a minister falls and he is the one that is the vanguard of the revival, then the revival fails at the point of the failure of the leader. But if it's driven by the Holy Spirit, it's not going to fail. Hallelujah. And the real revival around the world is being driven by the Holy Spirit. Make no doubt about it. Hallelujah. God is moving, and we, beginning with the 1907 Welsh revival and the 1948 revival, we're moving forward in time, and we want to bring you up to date, just up to speed of what the Lord is doing right now in the nations of the world. A mighty revival is taking place. So I'm not so much preaching as just bringing to the forefront for the purpose of prayer on Sunday night. We pray for revival on Sunday night. That's what the Lord has assigned us to do, and that we're going to be about our Father's business, and we get out a little earlier because I don't preach too long. No laughing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. And I want to talk about winning the race and receiving the crown. Amazing that the Holy Spirit would speak about those crowns that are waiting us. I don't want to make a statement as you turn to 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Every Christian is in this race. Some people don't seem to know or believe or understand that we have a course to finish. Paul talked about athletics in terms of the Christian life and the way it's supposed to be lived, the devotions that bring the disciplines necessary, amen, for God to be glorified through our life and for us to live a victorious life, amen. And I'm going to make a statement that when I first got into to anything about being athletic, I worked for Tampa Electric for years, and I stayed real athletic working for them. I was on a line crew, and there was a tough bunch of guys, and all of our work was manual. And when I went into the full-time ministry, then I didn't use my other muscles. I used this one to preach with and to eat with. Can you say amen? But I didn't use these other muscles. And I got up to around 224 pounds. And I'm 5'6". And when I was 224, I was a full gospel preacher. Can you say amen? But it was the wrong kind of fool. Amen. Every time I went to somebody's home, they offered me, and you know, you're supposed to be hospitable, and I would go in and have this, you know, whatever they had. I'd go to Sister Hodges. She had leftovers, and she wanted me to taste this, and they had always had big food when I visit them, so I visit them quite often. Can you say amen? And after 10 o'clock at night, the phone stopped ringing. We could just sit down and be a family, so we would order Domino's pizza. And they gave the big Pepsis away with it, and you buy one pizza, get one free with the coupon. So we'd get two of those big, large Domino's pizzas, and then we'd eat until we were full, and I'd look over, and there's some pieces left, and I thought they won't taste near as good tomorrow as they do tonight. Amen. So let's just gobble them on down. And after a while, it took its toll. Amen. And I realized that I needed to, actually, my wife realized that she enrolled me in a gym, a gymnasium. And I started going to the gym because she cared about my health. And so I got in the gym and I started working out in the gym. And I found out I was way out of shape from where I was when I was working for Tampa Electric. And I was struggling with certain, amounts of weight. And then I got around I got around power lifters and bodybuilders. Bodybuilders want to be pretty and symmetrical. Power lifters don't care about pretty. They just want to get these massive amount of weights. But they were on a professional level. We had a lady there, and she was a power lifter that was international. In fact, people would come into the gym and say, "Where's looking for the person who ran the place?" And she ran it when the owner was away. And I would say, "Well, you'll have to ask Lisa." And they would look around for Lisa because there's this person with short hair, big old muscles, and big trapezoids, and over there lifting weights. And they'd say, "Where is she?" I'd say, "She's right there." And they had a hard time believing that she was right there. And I've often visualized her coming out during Christmas when there's purse snatchings around some of the malls. I can visualize somebody, if she just put on a dress, which she never hardly did, but to see, just, you know, she'd be perfect. They wouldn't even have to call the popo. Amen. Amen. She'd take care of business herself. That lady was one strong, international level powerlifting woman. Amen. She's just, you know, but you could put a dress on her because and cover a lot of those muscles up. I'd like to see somebody grab that purse and see her just conk him on the noggin. Can you say amen? Amen. It would be something to see. But I got around professionals. I got around professional wrestlers who came in and were working out with weights. And I got around these people that were in athletics, and I began to appreciate their devotion, number one, and their discipline that came as a result of devotion. Everybody say discipline. Discipline. See, just discipline without devotion is tough stuff. If you just say, "I'm going to pray 30 minutes every day. I'm just going to do it because I feel condemned if I don't do it." That's not the real reason to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to get in so in love with Jesus that we want to talk with him. And we don't want to miss an opportunity to talk with him. Amen. And devotion will bring the discipline. And you won't even hardly know that you're doing something that's so disciplined if you're devoted. Those guys would come in and absolutely stay away from banana pudding. I mean, that's discipline. Everybody say, "Now that's discipline." Amen. Stay away from chocolate cake. Amen. Because they knew what it was going to do. They had to stay away from all of that. They disciplined themselves. But they were able to achieve things because they were devoted to what they were doing. Amen. They had to be devoted to it. I hate to break this to you on Sunday morning, but the professional wrestling that's out of the athletic field of the Olympics or something like that, or high school or college wrestling, all the other stuff is show stuff. I mean, these guys come in the gym together that were arch rivals in the ring. Amen. And they put on the big show. But I'm going to tell you something. For a man to be able to pick up a 300-pound man and throw him down, it takes some muscularity. And for the guy that gets thrown down to get up after being thrown down, he has to be in pretty good condition. Can you say amen? If they threw me down one time, it's all over. It would be done. It would be over with. One of the things that's missing, particularly in the American church, is discipline. Discipline. While Jesus is here, there's no need to fast. But when he's taken away, if we're going to follow on and we're going to be able to let the Holy Spirit truly lead us and guide us, we'll fast then. The discipline will come. Can you say amen? The discipline of prayer. Jesus spoke a parable to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means there's an antidote for being crushed by life, overcome by circumstances. Prayer is God's avenue. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Can you say, man, if he's sick, then gather around him, lay hands on him, anoint him with oil. But if he's going through something, you can't just do it for him. He's got to have that discipline. And that discipline needs to be born primarily out of devotion. We shouldn't be driven to God because of trouble. We should be drawn to God because of love. And if we're drawn to God because of love, when the trouble comes, we'll already be in the position we need to be to get the answer that we need from him. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So God just wants to capture our heart today. I could preach to you about all the disciplines that we need in our Christian life, but if I preach devotion to you, to love him back for loving you, they'll all fall into place and you'll hardly notice that you're practicing these disciplines. I love the Lord. I want to talk with him. My dad loves that song, and he plays it on the fiddle, and he's fixing up his fiddle, and I'm going to trim up his beard so he don't scare you. Can you say, man, he's been living with me for over a year now, and he hadn't had an occasion to spruce up, and I want to get him spruced up and get his fiddle fixed up and have him come in and maybe get my son to come with him, who God has given a testimony, and break the ice with him, get him down here and let him be off one Sunday and let him come in and tell what the Lord has done for him. And let you see what the Lord has done for him. Praise God. But my dad plays a song, I Come to the Garden. It's his favorite song. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and tells me I am his own. Praise God. I come to the garden alone. Another song says, I didn't come here to ask you for anything. I just came to talk with you, Lord. Can you say amen? Devotion brings discipline. And the discipline isn't a job. He said, if a man love me, he will do what? He'll discipline himself. He will keep my commandments. And my commandments, listen, if we love him first, before we try to practice the disciplines, amen, and my commandments will not be grievous unto him. I've got a mic and didn't realize it on me. Did we replace the battery? All right, praise God. How long will this battery last, do you think? Okay, he won't commit. Okay.
If it ain't Chinese.
All right, if it ain't Chinese, it might last a while. This is going to China, so be careful. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is good today. Hallelujah. If a man love me, say it with me. If a man love me, he will keep my commandments, and they won't be grievous unto him. In other words, he won't look like he's been baptized in pickle juice. Can you say, man? He'll be a disciplined Christian, someone who's really a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's what it means. And you know what? It starts with a negative. If any man will be my disciple, if he will get disciplined enough to follow me. And you have to be disciplined, because he's going to tell you to love your enemy. And believe me, that takes discipline. He tells you to pray for those who despitefully use you. And that takes discipline. He tells you to hold your peace. Amen. Don't just blurt out and let it all out. He tells you to hold your tongue. You talk about discipline, you're going to need all the Holy Ghost you can get. The tongue is an unruly member. Set on fire of hell. That means the fallen nature, amen, it generally has controlled what comes out of the mouth. And God has given you a new nature, praise God. And now he wants to help you let that new nature control what comes out of here. Amen. Praise the Lord. For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, amen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I meet with four, well, I'm the fourth pastor. I meet with three pastors with the pastor's organization. We meet at a table every Tuesday. And one of the things we discussed last week is some of the things about the tongue and certain issues. And a pastor friend of mine there says, you know, I'm going to ask my church to go on a fast. But it's not a fast of food. He said, I'm serious about this. He said, I'm going to ask my congregation to go on a fast. And he said, it's not a fast of bread or water or food. This is a different kind of fast. I'm going to ask them not to whine for 1 week about anything. Can you say, man, nothing. You can't complain about nothing for a whole week. It's a fast. You got to admit, it's giving up something that we normally do. If it's nothing but my ingrown toenail on my big toe, it helps when I talk about it. Can you say, man? When I tell somebody how bad that thing hurts, it makes me feel better after I've told them about that. Amen. I can't imagine not whining for a whole week. Amen. Devotion brings discipline. And the world knows how to devote themselves to something completely and wholly. They get consumed by what they devote to. And the disciplines are not something they look at as a job. They actually see it as a joy. Amen. They're not complaining. Someone that's a contender for a heavyweight division or any weight division, actually in boxing, he's out running because he sees something that he's after. And he's passionately committed to it. Can you say amen? Amen? We should be passionately committed to following Jesus. He hits us with a negative first thing because in order to follow him, it requires discipline. So he said, if any man would be, listen, he's got, when he does this, there's 5,000 people listening to him speak. Why don't we just don't rock the boat and build us a tabernacle here? We got 5,000 people on the ground floor to start a church with. That's a mega church in the making. Everybody say a mega church in the making. Jesus got 5,000 people on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He gets in a boat so they make sure they can hear him. He pushes out just a little ways from the bank, and the wind coming off the sea carries his voice like a big amplification system. Amen. So that all 5,000 can hear him. And he says, thank God you've all come to establish the church. Let's begin to build the church. You know what he says with 5,000 people hanging on his every word? If any of you want to be my disciple, if any of you want to discipline your life to the will of God, to be obedient with everything you are and everything you have, let him deny himself. Wow. Self-denial? We live in a self-indulgent society. It's driven by self-indulgence. And the word that is used is hedonism. It's described by people who look at our culture, not Christian, just people who gauge the culture, and they say we're a hedonistic society, and that is the philosophy of life, that the chief end of life is self-satisfaction. There's even cruises you can take, and you know it's going to be drinking and partying and promiscuous sex, because the name of the cruise itself is hedonism, Hedonism 1 or Hedonism 2. In other words, you get on it. Vegas is calling you to Vegas to practice hedonism. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And what they're saying is you go out there and give yourself permission to do things you would never do at home. Because nobody's going to know. God knows. And if you're a Christian in particular, be sure it ain't going to stay in Vegas. Can you say amen? Be sure. I mean, you can be sure your sin, my sin, will find us out. I'd rather go to God and get it under the blood. In fact, I'd rather not commit it if there's any way around it. And there is a way around it. Sin is not supposed to reign in your mortal body. Don't let it reign. It's there. It's going to pull you. But we're the ones that have to give in. And God's in our corner. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus today. Amen. Is it sinless perfection? No. But it means that in my heart, there is a commitment. There is a devotion. And the deeper the devotion, the greater the disciplines. And the greater the disciplines, the least effect the flesh is going to have. I can actually, Brother Taylor, begin to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let not sin have dominion over you. It can't be the dominant force in your life. Amen. Let me tell you about the tongue. Since we're into that area just a little bit today. Amen. The tongue is an unruly evil. But it's so powerful that the Bible said it's like a rudder on a ship, that great ships are turned by a very little part of that ship called the rudder that determines its direction. The tongue is set on fire of hell. That's that. No man can tame it. No man can tame it. Well, or what are we going to do then? God has given us the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And when the Holy Spirit came in, what is the first member that reflected the fact that God was now into the control of the life and mind? When they were filled with the Spirit, what was the first? When He filled their heart, it came forth through their mouth. Amen. They begin to speak in a new tongue. In another tongue, can you say amen? When God got control of the heart, He had control of the tongue. And it wasn't just for the gift of tongues. It's so when we quit speaking in that other language, that we could speak in this language and not tear each other up. And not tear each other down. Hallelujah. Not spread gossip. And not spread rumors. No corrupt communication proceeding out of our mouth. Out of your belly, Jesus said, shall flow rivers of living water. Where do those rivers, where do they flow out? They flow out through your words. They have to flow out through your words. Amen. When you open your mouth to testify of Jesus, that sets that flow. Praise God. When you pray for somebody in intercession, that flow comes up and out. Praise God. Amen. When you pray for an enemy out of love for God, hallelujah. Amen. Listen, it's not how you feel toward them. It's how you act toward them that represents loving your enemy. I have never really felt initially like hugging my enemy. Amen. Oh, let's get real honest today. There have been times down through the years. I'm little, but I'm wiry. Praise God. Listen, I get mad, I lose all sense of fear. It has cost me dearly before. Amen. I remember when I first let my temper, I don't even seem to be that kind of guy. But believe me, underneath here is the same old flesh man that needs suppressing and crucifying. I remember on a football field when I played football, amen, I was a right guard and I was a defensive guard. And a guy came through and the guy beside me, he came through and he elbowed him. I saw him hit him right in the face with his elbow, busted his lips, and boy, that burned me up. So this big guy, oh, he was big. Amen. And so I ran up to him. I was so mad. I took my helmet off and I threw it on the ground. And I took like that and I said, if you want to hit somebody, hit me. And I shoved him. And boy, he hit me. He hit me in the jaw. Amen. And then I jumped on him just before they broke us up. They were holding him back and holding me back. Amen. And I was saying, don't let me go. Don't let me go. do. You ever seen the comic book where you see those little stars? I saw them. They're real. Can you say? He jacked my jaw. It was a bad feeling when that happened. But I was all ready. Amen. Listen, disciplines can keep you out of a lot of trouble. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Can you say amen? Now, it don't always work. But God says, you make sure you're in the right. If you make sure you're in the right, I'll take up the battle. But you got to make sure you're in the right if you want me to defend you. Can you say amen? You got to make sure you're in the right. We used to sing the song, it requires discipline. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, victory, victory shall be mine. And it's a simple little song, but it's based on a real strong biblical principle of devotion bringing discipline and discipline bringing victory. Can you say amen? If any one of you would be my disciple, let him deny himself. Give up all right to self. Cancel out self. Take up his cross and follow me. Because if you follow Jesus, he's going to tell you to do things that requires a devotion that brings a discipline. Amen. And he doesn't just want you to hear about the discipline. He wants to capture your heart in devotion. Amen. If a man love me, what happens? He'll keep my commandments. And they won't be grievous unto him. I sense something changing in our worship. These singers are not just singing to you. You're important today, but you're not that important. Can you say, man? These singers were not just singing to you. Could you tell they were not just singing to you? They were singing to the Lord. Amen. The devotion is deepening. The love for Jesus is getting stronger. Praise God. Amen. We're not just coming to church because we're afraid that the Lord will whip us if we don't. We're coming to church because of what Paul said in his life. The love of Christ constraineth me. The love of Christ compels me to do what I do. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible said we love him because he first loved us. And the scripture said herein is love. Not that we loved him initially, but that he loved us and gave himself for us. Can you say amen? Amen. But if we understand and appreciate what he's done for us and we begin to love him back for loving us that much, amen, we begin to devote ourselves to him. We don't see self-denial as a negative. We see it as an opportunity to express how deeply we love the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible said in that early church with all of that persecution, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer. If it's for his sake. They took the spoiling of their goods in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And it's the hall of fame of faith. And there's a group of people that God honored above all the other people. Above Samson, above Abraham, above Sarah. He said, and there were others. And we never talk about them. And yet the Bible said the world was not worthy of them. And didn't say it about anybody else but them. There were others. There were others who wandered about in animal skins, who hid themselves in caves, who were tortured and would not compromise their commitment to Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Of whom the world was not worthy. He told a church, one of the seven in the book of Revelation and in the province of Asia. He said, I know where you dwell, where Satan's seat is. He said, some of you are going to be persecuted. Some of you are going to be put to death. He said, be faithful unto death, and he will give you a crown of life. The self-indulgent Christian, amen, is in no position to stand for Jesus when the heat's on. Can you say amen? Amen. If you mention suffering to certain circles of Christianity, and listen, it's very, this discipline, this devotion that brings this discipline is so important. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh, 1 Peter 4:1, has ceased from sin, that he no more live his life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. Can you say amen? We're not saying suffering under the boot heel of Satan. Amen. Listen, at midnight, under the persecution of the devil, they prayed and sang praises to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But all those that live godly after Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There are no exceptions. But we don't cry about it. We rejoice. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, primarily persecutions for the sake of the gospel. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Cooperate with it. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom concerning trials and tests, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man expect to receive anything from God, but you dig your heels in. Trust God through it all, and God will defend you and bring you through and turn your test into a testimony. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wow. I kind of like being free today. Brother Venable, have you ever had your heart broken? Oh, only about 1,000 times. Have you ever been among false brethren? Lord, don't get me started. Can you say amen? Have you ever been betrayed by a friend? Heaven help us. Amen. Yes, we've been through it all. Praise God. Have you ever been lied on? Oh, absolutely. Have you ever? Oh, just name it. You name it. I've been there. You say, oh, but Brother Bimble, we love you so much. Well, you're the exception. Thank you for it. God sent me somebody to love me. Can you say, man, thank you for that. I appreciate you for that. But I want you to know something. Amen. Jesus loves me no matter what. Amen. God, listen, get this perspective. There's nothing anybody can do to me that's greater than what he's done for me. Amen? No. No. What he's done for me at the cross is above. I will hold it above. Any hurt, any disappointment, any discouragement, I will praise God through my fears. I will praise God through my tears. Can you say amen? Because he's worthy of my praise. Amen. And the good thing about this is, whoso offereth praise glorifies me. Amen. I will bless the Lord, David said. How often? Amen. When things are going well, when people are applauding me, when all my needs are met, when I'm not going through any problems. No, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be where? Here's that discipline. Here it is. If you got one, point at it. Maybe you ought not touch it. I don't know where your hand had been. Can you say amen? Amen. Right here. I will bless the Lord how consistently? All times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. If you want something that tests your commitment and devotion, try it for a month. 30 days of no complaining. 30 days of no belly aching. 30 days, no matter what, I'm going to get up and say, good morning, Lord, instead of good Lord morning. Can you say amen? Want a challenge? I will bless the Lord. How often? On Sunday, because I'm part of the praise team and they're all looking at me. And I'll stand out like a sore thumb if I look like I looked before I got out of the car. Can you say amen? Amen? There's certain expectations here. But when we leave here, we pick up the telephone and we got to praise for Jesus. We got something to say good about God. We check our tongue. Let no corrupt communication proceed. That takes a discipline, but the discipline is born out of a devotion. Praise the Lord. Amen? Wow. It's getting quiet because we're getting real close to home. I don't mean done. It means home, home. Amen? Because we say the things that are correct on Sunday, but there's 6 days vacant, and God would like to be involved in all 6 of them. And he'd like to be a shield for us. Hallelujah. Amen. When a man's ways please the Lord. And this rudder begins with this right here. I will bless the Lord at all times. I mean, when a church got robbed, they wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Not this church has never been robbed, but the church we had was robbed, and they never took any. You know, God so protected us there. We were in Sulphur Springs, and it's tough. They do episodes of cops. They call me from Kentucky. My uncle said, "I saw your neighborhood on TV." And I thought, "Well, what's that all about?" You know, he said, "I was watching an episode of Cops." He said they were busting crack houses in your neighborhood. I recognized the street names. I said, "Well, yeah, that's us. That's where our ministry is in Sulphur Springs." You know, remember the Sunday morning they come around and wouldn't let the kids go out of Sunday school, and they told them to keep them away from the windows because behind the church where the pastor's car was the dumpster where they you know the whole neighborhood used the dumpster, and they took all the fish they caught out of the river and put the fish heads in our dumpster, and it was flies came to the dumpster. And I figured, there's one place the pastor can park without a sign that says reserved for pastor. You know what I mean? Because nobody wanted to park by the dumpster. I pull right in, get out of the car and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Bless the service, Lord," till I got about 10 feet away. Amen. They tell us they got a guy behind the dumpster with a 9mm, and they're out there with shotguns, and until this crisis is over and they get him to give up, there may be gunfire. And so here we are in that kind of neighborhood, but the Lord took care of us, didn't he? They come in, but they didn't ever got the good stuff. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I was wore out. It was a Monday morning after a Sunday night service. And I get up at 2 o'clock and they've broken into the church, and the police have come and the door's wide open and they want to know what they've taken. And I get up and I'm mad. Lord, why? Why? I mean, have you ever asked the Lord why before? See, this thing right here, I was so mad. I said, "Lord, why did you let them do that? Because, you know, I don't need this. We're doing your work. We're trying to do it your way. There's powerful services. And they come in the church, and they did this. Oh, by the way, back there where I park, in a thunderstorm, there was an oak tree back there. Thunderstorm. Guess what happens in the thunderstorm? One of those big limbs in that oak was rotten. Big, huge limb was rotten. First, I'd never had a new car in my life, brand new, and still don't have a brand new one. I get them with a few miles on them. It was brand new. No one had ever driven it. It was powdered blue because my wife, I saw a black one, and I said, "Black car. Looks just, you know, in my black suit. It's me, manly, black, shiny car." And my wife says, "I don't want one in this. It's in, you got one, have you got one that's light blue?" Light blue, powder blue, periwinkle, kind of a medium blue. And they had one. I said, "Oh, Lord." But anyway, it was brand new. I was happy to have it. I used my tongue. I said the right, "Thank you, Jesus, for a new car. I don't care if it does look sissy. Thank you, Lord, for the new car." Can you say amen? And we had pulled that thing back there, you know. Nobody's going to bang the doors. Nobody's going to park back here but me. Big thunderstorm comes. A limb falls out of the tree. Guess what? Somebody comes in and says, "Pastor Venable. Pastor Venable." I said, "What? What?" I said, "A limb just fell out of a tree on a car." I said, "Oh, Lord." And I thought, well, we got insurance on the property. I hate that it happened, but the insurance will cover it. It's going to be okay. Let's just praise the Lord. I said, "Pastor, it's your car." Flatten the roof flat. The roof was flat. The whole roof of the car was flat. They had to cut it off and put a whole new roof on. But I needed a paint job. And they had to paint the whole car to match where they put on the new roof. And it ended up looking better than it did before it happened. And insurance covered it all. And it was all right. Praise the Lord. But you know what that first initial reaction is? Why me? I'm the preacher. I'm sacrificing and doing your work. Why not Ditter's car? Mike said, "That's a good question." He's with me, dinner. So 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm not only questioning God, but I'm not too happy with the angels. Amen. I got a beef with the angels. Why? You know, angels encamp round about them that fear the Lord. Where were you guys when we really need you? God, where are you and where are those angels? Then halfway to church, I had to make a decision. Are you going to praise God anyhow? Or are you going to question God? What are you going to do? I didn't even know what they had taken, what they didn't, what damage they'd done, if they'd sprayed graffiti. All I knew was they had come in, done what they wanted and left, and the police were there waiting on me to fill out the report. Halfway from Plant City to Tampa, the Spirit of God just come in that car as I begin to worship Him. I begin to thank Him. I begin to praise Him. I'm not taking credit for that because I'm as human and I have questions as anybody else. But if you focus on Him, His goodness. You see, He's good in the valley too. He's not just the God of the mountaintops, praise God. He's the God of the valleys. Amen. Hallelujah. And in your valley, I challenge you, amen, to love Him enough, honor Him enough, reverence Him enough to give Him praise anyhow. On the way down, I begin to praise Him. And as I begin to praise Him, all of that, all the questions, all the anxiousness begin to move out of me. Amen. I felt the sweetness of Jesus in my heart. And by the time I got there, I wasn't angry anymore. I wasn't upset with God or the angels. Amen. And I was just happy. I said, we got the building. And whatever they took, God will replace it. Amen. Listen, there's a scripture that said if a thief, if he be caught in the Old Testament economy, and I wish we had that going on right now in America. A thief, if he be caught, has to restore sevenfold. Amen. I leave my keys in my truck. And you, that 93 S10, I leave my keys in it with the window down. So take it, because we'll catch you. They'll catch you. When they do, you've got to give me seven times what you took. What a deal. Amen. Let me tell you something. By the time I got there, the sweetness of Jesus, I looked around. The first thing I discovered was they took a monitor that didn't work anymore, but we just hadn't taken the time to throw it away. They got it. It was gone. They took a little answering service out of my office that didn't work anymore. We were going to throw it away. So they had a monitor that don't work, an answering service that don't work. Amen. They took something else that was inconsequential. All the good stuff was up in the balcony, and that alarm that just started going off, and they didn't get the good stuff. And so I told him, I said, well, honestly, they didn't get the good stuff. And we're so grateful and thank you guys for coming out here. And that cop, Lord, he was mad. Oh, he was mad. He said, I hate this. I can't stand this. He said, I don't, if it's a gas station, if it's a 7-Eleven, that's one thing. But he said, this is a church. This is God's property. Boy, he was wanting to mace somebody and bonk them on the head. Amen. All that anger was in him, and I think he thought I was a little loony for not being as upset and saying, yeah, that's right. You know, rah, 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 rah. But I had that sweet spirit by then. If you ever call me and you're mad at me and you want to nail me and I hang up, call back 15 minutes later. So I get that retaliatory attitude out of me. Amen. I mean, I'll hang up on you, but don't let that faze you. Call me back 15 minutes later. Give me time to pray and get over it. And say, yes. I'm so sorry you feel that way. God bless your poor old heart. May take 20 minutes, but don't give up on me. God is good. There's nothing anybody can do to me that should be greater in influence than what He's done for me at the cross. Amen. So get your mind off what somebody did to you. Get your mind on what He's done for you. Thinking about what somebody did to you is going to cause something that the Bible calls a root of bitterness. Amen. It's a gnarly, ugly old tree, and once it gets really going in your life, it becomes a stronghold and it's hard to get rid of. There are people that somebody hurt them 20 years ago, and it's just as fresh when they start talking about it. It's just as fresh as if it happened yesterday. They talk as if it happened last week instead of a decade ago or two decades ago. Get rid of it. Let no clamor, no bitterness, none of that exist among you. Amen. Listen, it involves a discipline of the mind as well as the life and the tongue. Concentrate on what the Lord has done for you at Calvary. Let it rekindle the flames of the first love. When I first came to Jesus, I forgave every enemy like that. My love for Him was so strong. Nothing anybody had ever done to me was stronger than what He done for me. And it changed my whole outlook and attitude on life. And the devil has not ceased to try all of those years to pull me back down in that place of my hurts and becoming bitter over incidents that took place in my life. But I'll be honest with you today. It's like a blur. I would have to go back down through the files of my mind and pull out a file and go into it to tell you about certain things that happened. And there's many files from all of these years of ministry. But I'm going to tell you, I don't go there. I don't want to go there. Forgetting the things that are behind, because they'll hold me back, and I don't want nothing holding me back now. Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. I press, I strain forward, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you getting anything out of this? Listen, devotion brings discipline. Discipline brings victory. Victory. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name and forget not His benefits. What shall I render to God, David said, for all of His benefits unto me? Can you say amen? God's looking for gratitude. God's looking for trust. God's looking for a commitment, a devotion out of love. He doesn't just want your discipline. Let me read this and then we'll quit. Listen carefully. The scripture is very clear that God wants devotion from the heart before He wants obedience. He wants devotion before He wants discipline. Just the proper act without the love is unacceptable unto Him. Amen? He said, come, let us reason together in Isaiah. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be obedient, you will eat the good of the land. No. No. If you be willing and obedient before the discipline, He wants the devotion. God wants your heart. If a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. And what? They won't be grievous. He won't look like all the fun, all the life has been sapped out of him. David said, I'll run the way of your commandments. Can you say, man, I won't be tentative. I won't look at it like my cross to bear. I will run the way of thy commandments. The most joyous people I know are people who are walking in the Spirit, who are denying themselves and taking up their cross daily and following Jesus. They're not living in lack. They're living in a luxurious spiritual life fulfilled by God like nothing in life could ever fulfill them. Hallelujah. The more I give up, the more room I make for Him. And the more place He takes in my life, the more satisfied I am. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you understand if we fall in love with Him? Remember the song we used to sing? I keep falling. We couldn't hardly quit singing it because there's no stopping place. It's like a song in the round. It just keeps going like me when I preach. Hallelujah. Listen. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Just keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God that we serve. Had we got to the scripture, Paul said something about the athletic world and your spiritual life. He said, I do not fight as one that beateth the air. I buffet my body, not buffet. I buffet my body, and I bring it into subjection. They do it. The world does what God requires of us without the aid of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, the stimulation of love for God. They do it. The athlete does it. The bodybuilder does it. The Olympic contestant does it. For a corruptible crown, the glory that's going to fade. They're motivated by that is going to pass away. All the glory of man is like the grass of the field. The sun comes up and it withers. But this that God is offering us is forever, eternal, age without end. But they do it. That's the point. They do it. They do it for a corruptible crown. We do it for an incorruptible. Can you say amen? In other words, we should be more highly motivated than the Olympic athlete. Those amens are awfully low this morning. I said the scriptures. How about, I know we should, and I know we're not, but we gotta have a standard for the church, and it's got to be higher than our Sunday morning status quo. Can you say amen? They do it for a corruptible crown. We do it for an incorruptible crown. We should be more motivated than they are. Can you say amen? And they are passionately committed. And we should be passionately committed. Because He's worthy. Praise God, He's worthy. Glory to God, He's worthy. And victory's worth it. Everybody saying victory's worth it. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to celebrate 48 years of marriage. It's been worth the disciplines not to let the devil get in our home, not to let him drive a wedge. Oh, there's been struggles along the way. Prince Charming did not meet Sleeping Beauty. And we didn't get on a white steed and go off to the castle and live how? Happily ever after. All was fine and dandy. No, this was the parsonage, friends. Can you say, man, nothing's fine and dandy down at the parsonage. Pressure was brought to bear. But God is good. And God is faithful. And God held us together. Because we put God first in our life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the closer we got to God, the closer we got to one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a mighty God. He's been good to us. And my wife is not a pastor. She has no official office. But everywhere we see my name, we see her name as your pastors. You know why? I told her the other day. I said they see us as a unit because we are unified. They see us as one. Can you say, man, they don't see you and me. They see a unit here. Hallelujah. Every marriage is supposed to be a unit. Amen. The two become one flesh. Hallelujah. Spiritually united, not just physically joined. Another sermon, I don't have time to give it, but there's a miracle in marriage where all the science of math and logic of math and reason of math is broken because 2 and 2 equal 1. Can you say amen? And you can't grade us wrong because the Bible says it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, 1 times 1 is 1, so you really get the 1 that way. Amen. 1 and 1 are 1 in that case. He's a math whiz. He taught mathematics, amen, at high school level, and he could teach college level, and he could be the principal of the school. He's educated enough to do that, and he tries to keep me in line, and he's got a job on his hands. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good today. God is good today. Will you stand to your feet and shout it? God is good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe that we're in the kingdom for a time such as this. And Brother Taylor, I want to give God honor. I want to give Him glory. Praise the Lord. I want to lift up and magnify the name of Jesus. I want to say something in here that edifies, that builds up the body of Christ. There are times when I'm going to teach things about some things that are wrong that need to be put right, but I'm going to end up with victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. I'm not pessimistic. I'm not fatalistic. I believe in Holy Ghost revival for America. If it can happen in China, if it can happen in Russia, if it can happen in South America, can you say, man, there's hope for this nation? Amen. I don't have a lot of confidence in the present day religious movement because I don't see people coming out of church and following Jesus. But I have confidence in this mighty move of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To bring people into a devotion to Jesus. Amen. That puts Him on a throne. That says to the young, listen, on CNN, and I could read this to you. There's a lot of young people leaving the church. They got them into the mega churches with something less than the cross, with less than total devotion to Jesus. And now they're disillusioned because they didn't find what they were looking for. We thought if we watered it down, we'd get the youth. What is happening now? The youth is making an exodus from many of the mega churches. Why? Because they didn't find anything there worth devoting themselves to. But if Jesus had been preached, amen, just like He preached, amen, if any man be My disciple, it's going to require a total devotion. Young people are looking for something worth giving their life to. Can you say amen? Not a bargain basement gospel. I'll give Him a hand of praise. We preach a worthy God here. Why the gospel's going where it's going, because we preach a Jesus that's worth suffering for. We teach a Jesus that's worth sacrificing for. We preach a Jesus that's worth dying for. So certainly we preach a Jesus that's worth living for. Can you say amen? Did I give you another one? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody give Him praise this morning. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Amen. I believe I'm in the kingdom for a time such as this. I believe you're in the kingdom for a time such as this. I believe it's sermons like this and challenges like this that has caused God to send His word to the nations of the world. Can you say amen? I know the American Christian isn't. The self-indulgent American church doesn't like this kind of preaching. But we're not here to please the self-indulgent American church. We're here to please our God. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 And I believe Robin Mark out of Ireland, Northern Ireland, I believe his song is relevant to us today. I really believe these are the days of Elijah. I believe these are the days when God is going to speak distinctly and directly to a generation. I believe these are the days of the Thomas David. I believe we're going to see God's Spirit come like it came before. Hallelujah. I believe in churches just like this, little assemblies or big assemblies, where God is welcomed and His word is declared. We're going to see Him manifest Himself. Hallelujah. Amen. God healed my daddy of cancer. Amen. 100% to where the doctor said if he didn't know he had it, he would never believe he ever had it. And they gave him 6 months to a year to live. And now he's 91. And that was about 7 or 8 years ago. Amen. And there's no cancer in his body. Amen. Listen to me. God is still on the throne. God delivered my son from alcoholism after 28 years. And then he healed his liver of the damage that it had done in those 28 years and put the liver function above what is natural, healthy, and normal. Can you say amen? And he took him off of alcohol after twice being in institutions and twice being in the hospital with alcohol poisoning. He took him off without any withdrawal symptoms. No drugs to help him come off. Hallelujah. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Can you say amen? And you don't get that with business as usual on Sunday morning. Amen. You don't even get it by preaching healing and deliverance. You get it by preaching Jesus and Him crucified and Jesus worthy of our whole life. Can you say, man, we will bow to no other gods. We will not serve God in mammon. Can you say, man? Can we close with this song? How many believe these are the last days and God is doing a great thing? Let's close with that song, if you will. Amen. You know that song. Sing it if you know it. But let's worship for just a few moments in closing. Behold, he I love the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. A few more of us.